And it's a good Friday morning here at WAMC. We are joined by our political observer and fearless leader, some might say, Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, David. We try to separate those roles. When I'm political observer, then I'm political observer. And when I'm leader, I'm leader. However, today's an interesting day because we have the wonderful Malcolm Nance on this morning. And by the way, you know, it was a premium ticket during the fund drive, and there are no more. So I can only tell you we've had a lot of calls, and people have wanted to know if they didn't know about it or whether they could come. But the next best thing will be to listen on the radio, and we hope that you'll all be there because Malcolm Nance is an extraordinary figure, and he has a great deal to say, and this will be a great morning. Joe and I will host, and we'll have fun.
Radio itself, a very important factor. You know, these days some people feel a little bit overwhelmed with all of the news that's coming out from Washington and other places. You know, there's always Trump, there's political unrest, social unrest, and some of that, it's that immediacy factor that's, that the internet has conditioned people to demand their news, their information, their entertainment now. They've got to have it now. And oddly enough, or perhaps not, radio provides that immediacy. Folks were turning on and tuning in to their radios in the 30s and 40s in search of knowing what was going on right away. And similarly, they're doing that today.
That's right, David. You are making a very good point. In fact, there's been new research which shows more Americans are listening to the radio. NPR stations are growing, and this station has certainly grown thanks to the largesse and the decency of all the people who think it's worth having. But it's not only that they know that there's a radio station out there, it's that this is a particular kind of radio station. It's an association of all of us who have cared a great deal about what's going on in the world. And as the hearings come up, we'll be playing those hearings, and people will be able to judge for themselves. And you've heard Rich Honan on the air. You hear people writing and saying, we don't want the other side. We only want our side, and that's too bad. Because that's what this radio station and any great radio station will do, and that's what we've done.
On with the news of the day. Well, one of the headlines, diplomat Giuliani sought Biden probe. We've got this big thing revolving around Ukraine and Trump and Joe Biden. And people are trying to make sense of all this. And we're looking forward to 2020. And some are wondering, is Trump going to be reelected? Who's going to be the Democratic candidate? What do you see in your crystal ball, Alan?
Well, my crystal ball is really vacant. It's very cloudy. I look down there, and all I see is like one of those little snow things that you turn over and it snows. I have no idea. I'm fascinated by the fact that Mike Bloomberg yesterday filed in Alabama. Now, we thought he wasn't going to run. Bloomberg has a reputation for running up to the line and then not doing it. But he's getting older. He's got a lot of money. He can self-finance a good deal of this campaign. He says that the Virginia situation, which both houses flipped to the Democrats, was an indicator to him because he had put a ton of money into that, especially when it came to guns and to gun sanity. So he now thinks that there's an appetite. This, of course, creates a problem because Joe Biden was preeminent in that moderate lane. And now with Bloomberg coming in, he becomes a very attractive candidate and has a little bit more verve than Biden may be showing up until now. So there's a danger here, and that is that a lot of people feel that if the candidate on the Democratic side is going to be way to the left or is going to be too progressive, that the moderates and the purples in the country won't vote that way. So now, if Bloomberg comes in the primaries, he may split that moderate vote with Biden, and it may create a winner and it looks that way in Iowa and New Hampshire for a progressive like Elizabeth Warren, my senator here in Massachusetts. So it's fascinating. It's going to have to take a little while before we see whether the Bloomberg thing catches on. A lot of people are saying to me that they're delighted. And then there are all those people who say, just another billionaire.
Locally, we've had some interesting headlines. We've seen Governor Andrew Cuomo tooling around in FDR's 1932, I guess, Packard at Albany Airport, opening up the new Exit 3, I think, for the third time. We've also seen some changes from Election Day, most notably Schenectady, where folks now are wondering, is this all-Democratic single-party rule now that the only independent voice on the council, Vince Riggi, lost his election? Should people worry when one party dominates a city or municipality over another?
You know, Dave, I grew up in New York City, an overwhelmingly Democratic city, and yet every once in a while, when the voters got tired of the same old, they would elect a Republican. Sometimes it was a reformer. Sometimes it was somebody like John V. Lindsay, who became the mayor of New York and brought a whole bunch of fresh new ideas in. But you asked the question, when one party dominates, will they ever get thrown out? My state, Massachusetts, is one of the bluest states in the country, and I can tell you right now that we have a Republican governor, and he's doing a good job, and he has tremendous support, electoral support. There is no question in my mind that if he faces re-election tomorrow, even with Trump, he wins. He is an example of just what you're talking about.
And here we are on the radio, information, ideas, they exchange, we exchange them, and it all happens here on WAMC. Alan, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
And thank you, David. It's always great to talk to you. And thanks for stepping in for Dave Gustina this morning.